We're going to continue on this, but I got a little bit different message and way I want to go before we get back into just looking at specific gifts and talking about what they are and how they work and so forth. In Ephesians chapter 4, let's turn over there first. We'll read that list first. Ephesians 4, we have what we call the fivefold ministry gifts or the ascension ministry gifts. And the reason they're called the ascension ministry is because it says, as we read here, you'll see, it says, what does it say? He who ascended, mean except that he descended to the lower regions. And he that descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. And it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The last couple of services, you can, if you weren't here, you can either order a CD or you can go online where you just saw graceonthemove.us and you can click on the audio on our podcast and you can catch up on that. But these are offices, ministry gifts that God calls and equips people in these offices for the purpose of building up, equipping the body of Christ. So that what? We become mature, and so that what? We can take our place in active participation, active ministry in the body of Christ. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about, you know, being participators and not spectators. One of the reasons God gave these ministry gifts, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, is to equip you so that what? You could become a participator. And not just a spectator. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 2. We're talking about spectators, and I put it this way, spectators are players. Spectators are players. You know, in anything, any kind of sport or any kind of activity, you have two kinds of people. You have spectators and you have players, don't you? People who watch and people who do. And so this morning, I want to remind us of that and also to understand that one of the reasons God gives you and has given you spiritual gifts as you discover them is so that you can move from being a spectator to being a participator or being a player. Are you listening? In the body of Christ as a whole, there are way too many Christian spectators. The stands are full. Isn't it interesting? If you look at the percentages, just looking at sports, how many millions of participators compared to how many players in the sport? Isn't that true? You may have 20 or 30 people playing and you may have 100 million watching. But the problem in the body of Christ is that we want to reverse that percentages. We want to reverse that. God has called, listen now, you say this, yeah, I know because some people don't think this is extreme, but God did not call one person on the earth to be a spectator. Now, hold your place there in 2 Kings. Turn over just a minute. Let me show you where the spectators are. Turn to Hebrews. We're going to come right back to Kings, but turn to Hebrews. Now, if you want to be a spectator, I'm going to tell you how you can be in the right place doing that. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Well, let's back up in verse 11, back up to verse 39. It says, he just mentioned there in the hall of faith, were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God planned something better for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Now, where are these great cloud of witnesses? They're up in heaven. So if you want to be a spectator, the only place to do that in the will of God is for you to be in heaven. When you get up to heaven, you can become a part of that great cloud of witnesses, spectators who finished their course, who played their game, who finished up, who won their game, and have gone on, and now they're ready, what? to spectate. Now, back to 2 Kings. So God has not called one person on the earth in the body of Christ to be a spectator. We're to be players. I remember when I played sports, I didn't like to sit on the bench. I'll just be honest with you. It wasn't fun. I didn't like it. I never met anybody on the sports team that did like it. We understood it, but we didn't like it. You know, I understood there were people that were more talented than me, so they got to play, but I still didn't like it. And we need to develop an attitude as believers. We've got to change our thinking and our understanding about this, that in God's economy, in what God's doing, there is positions for everyone. It's not just 5 players. It's not just 9 players. It's not just 11 players. There is a position on God's team for everyone. Wow, what a team. Talk about the dream team. Remember a few years ago, when they had all the NBA players going and playing, man. Playing, for the Olympics for our country. Man, I'm telling you what. I mean, when they came on the floor, the other teams, they were so in awe. They didn't even want to play. They just wanted to get their autograph and hang out with them. They were like, wow, Michael Jordan. Can I have your autograph? I mean, you know. And they just beat everybody. 40, 50, 60 points. You know. But here's the thing. God's putting together a dream team, where each one of us has a gift, has a purpose, has a place, has a position on God's team. And He doesn't want you to be a spectator. Listen, your position may not be the same as mine. Mine may not be the same as you, but that's irrelevant. That's where we mess up. Well, if I can't be quarterback, I ain't playing. Well, everybody can't be quarterback. Isn't that right? Everybody, well, I'm telling you what, if I can't be the pitcher, if I can't be the cleanup man, if I can't be the leadoff man, listen, we got to get rid of that attitude and understand every position on God's team is important. God validated it when He said, this is a part of my body. This is a part of my kingdom. Now, here in 2 Kings, I want to look at some things to help you in case you're not a player yet, to make sure that you move from being a spectator to being a player. So, first thing to do is to analyze ourselves. But let's read a little portion of scripture here. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 says, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to the heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel. But now I want you to notice the attitude here of Elisha. But Elisha said, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not. You know, here's the thing. A spectator, would have just said, okay. Okay, that's okay. All right, I'll sit here. But somebody that wants to be in the game. Somebody wants, they just aggravate the coach. The coach had to turn around. Will you please go sit on the bench? A few minutes later, I done snuck back up, right by that elbow. You know what I mean, brother, right by him. And he goes, will you? But you know what? I kept doing that. Finally, one day, he pointed the other way. Like Rudy, get out on that field, man. All right? Like, yeah. But see here, spectators, listen to this. Spectators are passive. If you're watching a game, you just sit back. You don't even have to do nothing if you want to. You don't even have to yell if you don't want to. You're just sitting back in that chair. You sitting back up on, on that stadium seat. Man, you got your hot dog and you got your, whatever going on there. You're drinking your Coke and you just get, oh, it's great. But I'm telling you what, if you're a player, you can't do that. You're a player, you got to be active. You got to be in shape. You got to be in training. You got to be ready. You got to know what the game plan is all about. You got to know, where's my position? What am I supposed to be doing? I've taken the gifts that God's given me, the God-given gifts, and now I've honed those things. And I've got them so I know exactly when coach puts me in. Who's coach? The Lord Jesus Christ. When the coach puts me in, I've got my gifts ready. They're ready to be used. I may be on special teams. I may be on the kickoff team. I may be in a special package that God had, but bless God, when I'm in the game, I've got my gifts. I know what they are. I've got them honed. I've disciplined them. I know how to use them. I'm ready to just, man, all the time. Send me in, coach. That ought to be our attitude. But see, if we're a spectator, all we do is we sit back and we you know, really a spectator, if that's all you ever do, you know what a spectator, he's content to live vicariously through the experiences of others. We watch somebody on the field break that tackle or something, man, imagining that we did that or we could do that. Yeah, right. Coach used to tell me, he said, Braswell, he said, your problem is you run too long in one place. His quaint way of saying, you slow, boy. Slow. I said, thank you for that encouragement. He's right. You know, it's kind of tough to play when you're little and slow. Man, that's a twofer in the wrong way. I said, Lord, if I was going to be little, at least let me be fast. But here's it. Many times, see, that's a spectator. We're content to watch others do it. Oh, the pastor will do it. The deacon will do it. The elder will do it. The leader over this will do it. Or that brother will do it. Or they'll do it. They'll do the praying. And they'll lay hands on the sick. And they'll coordinate this. And they'll oversee that. And they'll do this. And so and so. They'll do the giving. See? And we just spectate. And we just, you know, love to get in. Oh, man, isn't it great? You know, that's why some people go to a big, big church. They sit in the back and they are vicariously, they're living their... No, I'm not against big churches. Let me just make that clear. I am not. But listen, I came from a large church. Okay, so I know. Well, this is true. Doesn't have to be, but it is. But many of them, they're in that place. Why? Because they can get lost there. You know, nobody's going to see whether you know what's going on. And they are really spectating vicariously. They're in a church with 2, 3, 4, 5,000. They think, oh, man, ooh, we're something. Well, what are you doing? Boy, man, aren't we something? Aren't we doing? Look what we're doing. You're not doing anything. You're just coming and warming a seat. You're spectating. And so a spectator is content to do that, live vicariously. Let's go on and read verse 3. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, do you not know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Yes, I know, Elijah replied. Now listen, spectators do not have the discipline that is necessary to get into the game. Notice these prophets, they all come out. And they said, hey, they said, don't you know what's going to happen today? You know what's going to happen? And you know, there are a lot of Christians that way. Oh man, they can tell you the latest prophecy teachings, what everybody said, the latest word, and you know, and all of that. But you know what? They're just like these prophets. They don't go on the journey. They just come out and say, hey, have you heard about this? Have you heard about that? Have you been to this, you know, the latest seminar over here? You've been to this? Have you heard that? But listen, God wants to say, listen, a player has to have some personal discipline in themselves to get themselves in a position to be a participator. The coach is not going to call on you if you're flabby and out of shape and undisciplined. How many times you read about those coaches having to set a player down because he broke team rules? And a lot of times those team rules is this. You're just out of shape. You're just not disciplined. Or you can't be somewhere on time. Or you can't be at the practice when you're supposed to be. Whatever it is. So here's a spectator. They can't discipline themselves. Oh, they know what they needs to be done, just like these prophets. They knew what was about to happen, but they didn't do anything about it. You know, we get up here and we talk about, you know, these are the last days and the harvest is coming and God wants to do this and God wants to do that. And we all, yeah, you know, we're like that bobblehead, you know. That's right. Listen, let's go on and read some more. Verse 4. Then Elijah said to him again, Elisha, stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he replied, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. Listen. We got to have some persistence if we're going to be a player. If we're going to utilize our God-given gifts He's given us and take our place and our position, whatever it is in the body of Christ, we're going to have some persistence. Because I'm going to tell you, listen, there are going to be people that will tell you you can't, you won't, you shouldn't. Come on. And I'm going to tell you what, if you don't have some persistence, if you don't have something in you, allow God to put a backbone in you and some persistence in you, I'm telling you what, the naysayers will get you out of the game. You'll move from being a player to being a spectator. Because they will tell you, you can't, you shouldn't, and you won't be able to. I've never tried to do anything that I didn't have all those. Amen? The unholy witnesses. Come on. God says, I can do all things. Well, who are you to tell me I can't do one thing? Isn't that right? Listen. He said, as surely as the Lord lives, you live, I will not leave you. So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets. Here's another group at Jericho. You know, we could change this company and just say, you know, a church. Here's another church group comes out. Who went up to Elijah and said, don't you know the Lord's going to take your master from you today? Here they are. They know it again. Oh, they know the Bible. You know, from Genesis to maps. They got it down. Know the book of Job by heart. They got it down. But here's the thing. Listen, spectators do not know the struggles or the joys of playing. What's so wonderful about Christianity? It's surely not coming and just hearing message after message after message after message after message until, bless God, I could preach as good as he could. As a matter of fact, a little better. But here's the thing. Is that all that Christianity has been reduced to in your life? You just come and watch somebody else and pretty soon you get tired of them and say, man, we need to get a new one in. I'm tired of him. Listen, Christianity will be boring if all you ever do is spectate. You need to know some of the struggles that it takes to get yourself into the game. Listen, I want to tell you what. Somebody says, yeah, but don't all those players that don't even get in the game, don't they get a championship ring? Yeah, they do. But I'll tell you what, it don't mean as much to them as them guys that sweated and grunted in the lines there. That had to fight that big old horse over on the other side. The guy that carried the ball 25 times and got nailed all the time. Don't you tell me it means as much. Ain't no way. It may be just as pretty, but it don't need it mean as much. Why? Because unless you know the struggles, you won't know the joys. Amen. And so God's called us to be players, to be participators, to be involved, to be there, to be active. That's why he gave you a gift, so that you could get involved and you could be active and you wouldn't have to do it just in your own strength, but you could do it in the strength of God that flows through the gift he's given you. Because every gift from God comes with an anointing, comes with a divine enablement. You say, oh yeah, but I wanted that gift. Well, listen, start using what you got. Because we'll see in the course of this study, if you'll use the gift you got, God will increase. Amen. One of the reasons some Christians don't see increase is you're not using what you got. Mm-hmm. Listen, spectators are always removed from the proximity of the action. Notice what it says here. Let's go on down and read. In verse 6, then Elijah said to him, stay here, the Lord has sent me to Jordan. He replied, as sure as the Lord lives, I will not leave you. So the two of them walked on. Verse 7, 50 men from a local church went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Now here's the thing. So many, that's what we are. Spectators stand at a distance. Bless God, I don't know about you, but something about me, I would want to have been right down there when the cloak hit the river and see that water. Just something, that's where I want to be. I don't be looking through a telescope at it. I don't be looking on a videotape of it. I don't be looking through binoculars at it. I want to be, bless God, right there by riverside when the thing splits. When people get saved, I want to be right there. I want to see the joy when the life of God and the burdens lifted off of them. When people get healed, I want to see the joy that comes to them. When people get set free, when marriages are put together, when all of these things happen, I want to be right there seeing it.
Amen.
I do not have a spectator attitude, spirit, but so many do. These 50 prophets, they stood afar off. They knew exactly what was about to happen, but they were content to stand afar off. And you go on reading here, and there's no indication that these company of prophets ever did anything. If they did, it wasn't noteworthy because it wasn't recorded. We see Elijah and Elijah, but we don't see anything about this company of prophets other than it mentions that, you know, in the King James, it says they stood afar off. You know? Somebody see God do something, and some people, their reaction is, I don't understand that. Man, it's the opposite for me. I want to get right in there.
Yeah.
Man, God, do it again. Yeah. Do it again. Do it again.
Yeah.
Save again.
Yeah.
Heal again.
Yeah.
Deliver again. Yeah. Baptize in the Holy Ghost again. Bless somebody financially again. Deliver somebody again.
Yeah.
Because see, every time it happens to somebody else, and I'm in the game there, bless God, it's just like it happened to me.
Yes.
Like I got saved again. Like I got blessed again. Like I got healed again.
Yeah.
I wish God to do something in my life. Well, get busy being a player and let Him use you to do something in somebody else's life. And then you might have something happen in yours.
There you go.
Your selfish thing. See, spectators are removed from proximity of the action. I want to ask you, are you where the action is? Are you involved in the action? Are you just content to hear about somebody else that got some people saved? Somebody else that cast out a devil? Somebody else that laid hands on the sick? Somebody else that helped meet a need of somebody? Are you content to do that? Well, I got news for you. The Christian life is going to get very dull, very boring, very mundane. And sooner or later, something else is going to captivate your heart. Something else will be more exciting. Something else will be more titillating. Something else will be look like it's more fun. I'm telling you. Nothing more exciting in the world than a walk with God. You know, He's splitting rivers, bringing water out of the rock, raising the dead, putting marriages together, delivering people from demonic oppression. I mean, you talk about something exciting. What's the world got to compare to that? Ball game? Lord of mercy. But see, we've lost it because what we become spectators. We haven't taken time. God, what's your plan for my life? God, what gifts have you given me? And get involved. Begin to get some self-discipline. Begin to get, say, man, I'm going to get in it. Listen, when I got saved, I wasn't raised in church. I didn't know nothing about nothing. Excuse my double negative. I didn't know anything about nothing and nothing about anything. In other words, I knew very little. But you know what? I got busy right away. Man, I began to go. Listen, I went to the jails. I had a captive audience. They didn't care. They didn't care whether my name was Billy Graham or not. They were forgotten. I mean, jails, nursing homes, shut-ins, sick people, all kinds of people you can minister to. They don't care whether your name's this or that or the other. They don't care about that. You know what? When you get there, you can be that to them. Why don't you be somebody's Billy Graham? Why don't you be somebody's Oral Roberts? Why don't you be that to somebody else? We think people want this or that. No, they don't. They want somebody that's got God in them to come to them and show them the love and the mercy and the compassion of God. And then you're going to see God work through you. You ever notice this? This is the attitude too. Spectators many times see themselves as experts who could do it so much better. They don't ever do anything, but they are wonderful critics. Well, I think you ought to, you know, he, she, or she should have done this, or they should have done that, or they should have taught it this way, or they should have prayed that way, or they should have done it this way. Isn't that right? You know, in sports, we call them armchair quarterbacks, don't we? But see, that's a characteristic of a spectator. They can see where everybody else could have done it better, should have done it better. And in their own mind, they just know they could. But the problem is, the reason they never do is they can't get up off their seat. Their blessed assurance. And so what we have to understand is, listen, and I'm sharing these things because we may see some of these characteristics in us. Because, see, sometimes because we live this thing vicariously, we think we're really involved. Oh, I'm a big part of grace. Really? What do you do? Well, I come. Most of the time. But here's the thing. What gift has God put in you? What plan has God got for you? And are you doing it? Well, I don't like the pastor. Well, that's neither here nor there. God didn't say, okay, obey me if you like the pastor. If you don't, you don't have to. No, he just said, listen, I'm going to give an account for me, but you're going to give an account for you. Well, what are we all going to give an account for? The thing God called us to do. Isn't that right? So how are we going to move from watching to doing? Let me finish it. I got to finish this up real quick because we're going to participate in the covenant meal. Listen. Number one, players are involved. Are you involved? Are you doing anything? Would we miss you? With the body of Christ, would we miss you if you stopped doing what you're doing? I'm telling you what. You look on some of these championship teams. You take one of the players out of there, key players. Oh, boy. You think they don't feel it? Oh, man. You better know it. You see, but here's the thing, you know, as a spectator, see, we like to be spectators because then if we disappear, nobody notices. But I guarantee you, if you're the quarterback on the team and you don't show up, they notice. If you're that big offensive lineman that's blowing holes there, so, you know, this guy's got a, you know, 6 or 7 yard average and he don't show up, I guarantee you're going to know it. Isn't that right? Or whatever it is. But see, as spectator, so here's the thing. Are you involved? Are you engaged? Are you using what God gave you? Secondly, are you a disciplined person? Because as you become disciplined, your gift will gain in value. You know, you can go and dig whatever it is, whether it's gold ore or just dig a diamond out of the ground, and you know it'll have a certain amount of value. But you take that gold and you process it, get all the impurities out of it, and you know what? It will increase many times in value. You take that diamond, you get somebody who knows how to cut that thing right and polish it up, and all of a sudden it increases tremendously in value. And see, God gives us gifts, and they are like in that natural form, undeveloped form. And God is saying, if through your discipline you will begin to use that gift, you know what? It will become even more valuable. Persistent. I mentioned this. You got to be persistent. You want God to use you? You want to make a difference? You got to be persistent, because I guarantee you, you're going to have obstacles. And sometimes those obstacles are people. They tell you you can't. But you know what? You got to just press right on. Just like this prophet. He said, man, he finally came to the place. I mean, he wouldn't give up. He said, okay. He said, if you see me when the Lord takes me, he said, you're going to have a double anointing. Boy, that's an increase right there, because he persisted. He persisted. He received what? The purpose and plan for God. Then finally, it's going what? Fruitful and anointed. Look, chapter 2 there, verse 9. It says, when they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me what I can do for you before I'm taken away. He said, let me inherit a double portion of your spirit. And you know, if you'll grow and read that, you'll find out that Elisha worked twice. Exactly as many miracles as Elijah. Yes. Exactly. Yes. What? Because he was disciplined, he was involved, he was persistent, what happened? The gift, the calling, the purpose of God was realized in his life. And what? It became what? Even more valuable. Even more valuable. Listen, do not take the gift God has given you. Do not take it and be like the man with the one talent who said, well, you know, he got five. I only got one. What good can this gift do? What good can this talent do? And he stuck it in the ground. Listen, if you are a spectator and not a participator, a player, you're doing the same thing. You're taking what God gave you and you're essentially sticking it in the ground because there's no chance for it to increase. What did he commend them for? Not how much they had. He commended them what? They used what they had and it brought increase. That's what he commended them for. And you know what? If the guy with the one talent, if he'd have done the same thing, he'd have got the same commendation. Got the same reward. Listen, God's not going to reward the apostle greater than the guy who sweeps the building if they're both doing what they were called. And they are faithful, they are diligent, they are disciplined. You'll get the same reward. Because you can't be what God didn't call you to be. But here's the thing. We ought to be all that God called us to be. Amen? I want to encourage you. Go back and read over this chapter. And look at some of the things I said and say, you know, okay, am I a participator? Or am I just being a spectator? That's part of what we're doing in this series. We're talking about spiritual gifts. We want to help activate that. We want to help you start thinking about it. Start praying. Start seeking. I'm not up here to tell you, you've got this and you've got that and you've got the other. But what I am doing is I want to stir something up with you from the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit so that you begin to seek God and say, God, where's my place? What's my gifting? And begin to use it. Begin to develop it. And the Bible says if we do that, the body will grow. God's got a natural church growth plan. That is, each one of us in our place using our gifts brings increase. Amen. It's not a plan. It's not a program. It's not going out and doing a bunch of stuff and all that. You know what? Let's do it God's way. Amen. 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 So, as they say, the ball's in your court. Mm-hmm. What will you do? What will you do? First of all, if you don't have a desire to do something, first thing you need to do is get in your prayer closet. If you call yourself a Christian. Because there ought to be something on the inside of you. Something on the inside of you. Man, I went to the mission field. I barely knew what a mission field was. But something on the inside says get busy. You say, well, what if I do the wrong thing? Listen, a moving car is the easiest kind to steer. Get in motion. Do something. And you know, if it's not just right, if you're getting involved for God, you know what? God will bring you to a place where he says, okay, that's good, son, but here's the best. Remember we read in Romans 12. He said, get your mind renewed by the word of God that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect. Start doing something good. It's acceptable to God. And then you know what? God will move you into a place where what? It's the perfect. It's the perfect will of God for you and for the gift that God gave you. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Well, we're going to participate in the Lord's covenant meal together. So I want the men to come if they would. You prepare your heart to receive. In this covenant meal, if you're a believer, you're welcome. Whether you're a member of Grace or not, you're welcome to participate. We want to ask you, as the men are going to serve you in just a minute, and as they serve you, if you just hold the elements, then we'll partake of them together. But I want